So the conversation between the risen Christ and the two disciples here, it's interesting and it's a little odd at the same time. The two disciples were talking about what happened to Jesus, but he shows up and says, "Hey, here I am. Look at my hands, look at my feet, touch me and see me. It is me. I have risen from the dead." But what did the disciples think Jesus was? They thought they were seeing a ghost. Like, well, this is a ghost. They were still incredulous and kind of unwilling to believe. So Jesus changes his tactics. He changes his approach. And instead of continuing, "Hello, do you want me to take a photo? Or do you want me to other ways of proving that I am the risen Christ?" Instead of doing that, he changes the subject around. And what does he say? "Do you have anything to eat?" Now, what kind of question is that? We're talking about ghosts. We're talking about touch me, touch my the nail marks, and I'm the risen Christ. And then he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" It's pretty awkward. Pretty awkward. But it actually makes perfect sense. Do you like to eat? Everybody likes to eat, right? And especially, who do you eat with? Family, friends, people you like. Do you eat with people you don't like? Would you eat with a ghost? Even if it's Casper, the friendly ghost, you'd still not eat with a ghost? Yeah, I wouldn't eat with a ghost, right? We enjoy eating with people that we like, people that we love. And it's kind of how we show our love and appreciation with each other. Every family, every culture got that grandma. Every family's got the grandma who cooks really good food, right? Got that soul food. And when the grandma cooks it, she doesn't just cook the food. She cooks it with love. And then when you eat that stuff, you're like, "Oh, yeah, grandma. Yes. I can taste the warmth and love that you cook this food with." Yet when we have a formal lunch or a dinner with somebody, you usually need to schedule a time, right? And you say, "Well, are you free for lunch? Are you free for dinner?" It's like, "Oh, I'm kind of busy right now." "Well, how about tomorrow? How about next week? I'm not sure. How about next year? Well, who knows? Well, how about 3 years from now? Are you available 3 years from now? Maybe." Right? But if it's people that you really know, your close friends or your family, like for me, for example, do I need to make an appointment with my parents to have dinner? Oftentimes when they call me, they say, "Well, I'm not available. Maybe we'd find another time." But it's an open invitation the other way. I can go anytime to my parents' house, and I just barge in and I say, "Do you have anything to eat?" Or with some of my closest friends, it's an open invitation, 24/7. In fact, I know we're so close that I know where they hide the keys. Because every house got that secret key underneath the third rock in the backyard. I know where it is. I just go in there, go to the secret key, and just open the refrigerator. 24/7. It's an open invitation. Or other times, with some of my closest friends, I would call them and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" They say, "Well, I'm kind of busy right now with things." And, "Well, too bad. Too bad, because I'm hungry." "So we're going to go eat." "So, well, no, I can't. Well, too bad. I'm on my way." Right? And then we go eat. Right? I'm able to do this because these are people that I trust, closest friends, family, people that I'm comfortable with. And it's the same thing with Jesus and his disciples. You got to put this into context here. The two disciples, they're incredulous, still not really believing that it's the risen Christ. And keep in mind that what we just read from the first reading, from the Acts of the Apostles, it says, "You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you." Who's that? Barabbas. They chose that Barabbas be released instead of their own master. "The author of life you put to death." The two disciples did this to Jesus, and yet, what is Jesus' response to these two disciples? "Do you have anything to eat?" Right? Popping that question. "Do you have anything to eat?" As if Jesus treats them, the ones who betrayed him, as one of his closest friends. Sharing a meal with someone, it's a very special thing. Not just a sign of hospitality, but it's a sign of love, forgiveness, and a desire to be in communion with that other person. And when Jesus says, "Do you have anything to eat?" he's asking, "It's okay. It's okay that you betrayed me. I forgive you. Let's share a meal together because you are still my closest friends." And it is only then, because the whole nail thing, they didn't get it. They thought it was a ghost. But only then, only when they share a meal together, do they slowly get it, that this is the risen Christ. And what about us? What about us? Every time we come to church, Jesus is asking us, "Have you anything to eat?" We just, during the Easter season, we have the sprinkling rite as a reminder of our baptismal promises. And after the homily, the creed is set in a question and answer form. And I ask you, "Do you reject Satan?" And you say, "Oh, I do, I do, I do." "Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?" "Oh, I do, I do, I do." And then during the week, we don't. And then we come back, and Jesus forgives us and is telling us, "Do you have anything to eat? Come, come to the table, come to the altar. I offer you my sacrifice. I offer you my body and blood. Come, be in communion with me." The same thing that he does to the two disciples. And I know that there's people we like, people we don't like, people we get along with, people we don't get along with. That's just part of human nature, human condition. But if we are sharing the same meal, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, we should be able to look at anyone in this church or look at anyone in this church community. And as you're walking up the aisle, here, there, to receive communion, we should be able to look at each other and say, "Hey, have you anything to eat?" Because we are a church of reconciliation. And if Jesus is able to come up to the same people who chose a murderer instead of him, abandon him, betray him, put him to death, and if Jesus can come up to them and say, "Have you anything to eat?" we should be also able to do the same. And it's no different for us priests. I often say, maybe I mentioned this before, but if you had to think about a fraternity or a sorority, like in a college, I think the priesthood is the best fraternity in the world because we're united in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And most colleges have a fraternity or a sorority that have neighboring fraternity sororities. We're a fraternity that's been going on for 2,000 years. And we're a fraternity that's at every Catholic church. So technically, because another priest is my brother priest, united in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, I can go to Africa, go to any random Catholic church in Africa and be like, "Hey, I'm Father Steve. Do you have anything to eat?" And she'd be like, "Well, I don't know you, but yeah, you're a priest. You're my brother. Come on in." That's the greatest fraternity. Yet, do you think we all get along? No. Sad to say, but it is true. And I have priest friends that I like. I have priests I just don't like. Even if we're united in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, right? And let me tell you this one priest. This elderly priest, okay? And I entered the priesthood when I was young, the seminary when I was 17, right? This was even before I knew this priest when I was 16. Huh? And ever since back then, I would go out of my way, because I respect a priest, I would go out of my way and say, hey, Father so-and-so, hi. And he'd just be like, he wouldn't give me a time or a day, just no response. I said, "Well, what's up with this priest? What's wrong? Did I do anything? I didn't do anything wrong. What? Fine, you want to go like that? Fine, be that way, okay?" Enemy number one. All right? And then things got worse. Things got worse. Because he'd go around. And in my formation and also after I became a priest, he'd go around and include my name and you know, spreading things. You know, oh, these young, cocky priests, you know, they think they know everything. They know nothing. And these are the kind of priests that's going to ruin the church. Wah, 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 you know? Okay, there you have it. There you have it, you know. And one day, because in Campbell, there's a lot of, like, physical therapy, you know, offices around here. So I guess he was going to one of those physical therapy sessions here. An old man, you know, poor thing, right? And he calls me up. Calls me up and says, "Steve, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm busy. You know, I just came from the high school, and I'm busy." You know? "Well, can I take you out for lunch?" I said, "Wait a minute." "Whoa there. Meal, like sharing a meal, that's reserved for friends. You are my enemy." What is going on? My antennas, my alert system, defensive system, you know, nuclear attack. Here we go. You know, what does he want? Is he trying to set me up for something? I don't know. This is very suspicious. This is very fishy. And I said, "No, I'm kind of busy right now." "Well, too bad. I'm like on my way right there. I'm almost at the parish office." I said, "Well." So no choice. No choice. We had to go to lunch. All right? Lunch with my enemy, that is. And I mean, honestly, towards the end of the lunch, especially when it came to the dessert, okay? I could feel my heart just slowly getting warmer and warmer, little by little. And by the end of that lunch, the magic of sharing the meal, I think it healed our differences. And not that he's my friend, still, he's not my friend, okay? But he's not my enemy either. He's not my enemy either, right? And now I consider him as not an enemy, but as a brother priest, as a member of the body of Christ. And I am in communion with him. And I hope that he's communion with me, right? So this is what I mean at the beginning of the Mass, that Jesus takes divine mercy to the next level. Last week we celebrated divine mercy, and I asked the people to be merciful, practice mercy, so that we can experience God's mercy. Well, this week, Jesus is telling us, take it up a notch, take it to the next level. It's not just practice mercy and be kind and be merciful. It's popping the question, do you have anything to eat? So maybe you were able to practice mercy last week. Maybe somebody that you don't like, somebody that you're in disagreement with, you know, people you had issues with for many years. Maybe you were able to ask God to be merciful to that person. But now Jesus is telling us, take to the next level. Send them a text message this week. Give them a phone call. Visit them in person and say, do you have anything to eat? Maybe they'll say, no. Maybe they'll say, I don't like you. Well, at least you popped the question. Just as Jesus popped the question to his disciples. The same ones who betrayed him. The same ones who chose Barabbas over him. And he comes to them and says, do you have anything to eat? Right? So pop that question to the people that needs to be popped, okay? And say, do you have anything to eat? And you'll be amazed when you share the magic of sharing a meal together. This will bring healing. This will bring reconciliation. The same way that we receive healing and reconciliation when we receive the body and blood of Christ.